Hello and a really warm welcome to our podcast, Successful Student Transition, A Time to Thrive, hosted by me, Louise Wiles, and Elizabeth Gilley. And in our podcast, we aim to be a companion for young people and parents as their children step out into the world of work and university following full-time education. Today, I'm going to be talking to Kim Stokes, and together we're going to be talking about how parents can support themselves as they face this time of transition for students as they move away from home into the world of independent living and first years at university. So as parents, you're supporting the student as they make this move, but also for you, it's a transition that we recognise can be challenging. So we're going to have a conversation about this experience from both perspectives. Now, just before we get into our conversation, I want to just pause to tell you about our upcoming webinar, A Blueprint for Successful University Transitions. Now, this is for anyone who's supporting a student or for students themselves who are starting university in September 2025. Join us to discuss university transitions, the challenges, and how students can set themselves up for success as they start university. The webinar is online and on Tuesday the 24th of June at 4:30 p.m. UK time, that's British summer time. You can join by registering by going to successfulstudenttransitions.com/webinar. That's successfulstudenttransitions.com/webinar. We look forward to welcoming you to the webinar. Now back to my conversation with Kim. So welcome, Kim. Kim from Kindness for Success. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. Thank you for having me. An exciting conversation I'm looking forward to.
Yes, and a very relevant one for me because I am of that age where yes. I have two daughters who have moved, well, they've already started university, both of them. One is in year three, going to year, well, four, placement year. And the other has just started year one. So I've been through it twice. So I'm really looking forward to having this conversation and sharing some of my experience and some of your insights. It's going to be good. So let's start by you just telling everyone a little bit about yourself and the work that you do.
Yes. So delighted to. So I'm the founder of my coaching business, Kindness for Success, and I work with both individuals and organisations to help them integrate self-kindness into daily life. My background spans coaching, leadership, and supporting working parents, particularly those navigating the complexity of juggling the whole work, family, self-care. I've got my signature program is Frantic to Fulfilled, where I help parents reclaim space for themselves without guilt. And at the core of that is very much the shifting the perception that self-kindness is an indulgence and actually it's a necessity. So I spent 15 or 16 years in corporate HR roles and took the plunge and set up my own coaching business. I had my business anniversary earlier this week. So delighted to be having this conversation.
Yeah. Well, brilliant. Congratulations on your business anniversary. First year. That's an achievement, I think, when setting up a business and making it to the first year point. So well done. So actually, as you were just talking there, I was just thinking about parents and what I see in sort of chats and connections and conversations with parents who are supporting their young adults as they make this move to university. We are particularly talking about that first year move. But I think a lot of what we talk about will be relevant to parents of any students at any stage of this process of leaving home, really, I guess, and moving to independent living. And, you know, and what I see is this kind of split set of emotions around the experience from pride and excitement for their young adults who are going, who have achieved number one, great things, and are moving on to the next stage of their lives, be it careers or university. But then also that sense of sadness that one stage of life is perhaps coming to an end and the home is going to be empty or emptier, depending on how many children around. And it can be quite a a challenging time because of those mixed emotions. And I wonder, you know, you've worked in the corporate world, probably seen a lot of parents coping with this time of life. And I wonder what your observations have been in terms of, you know, how they have managed their corporate life, often very busy corporate lives, alongside this challenging personal time.
Yes, great question. And I think, yes, I have, both in sort of, you know, teams that I've led, but in you know, people that have led me, I've seen that a lot. And I think, you know, if we think about working parents sort of holistically, just for a moment, there can be a real, I guess, struggle or between being, I guess, always on for both work and family. And I think in the early years, obviously, it's different because it's a lot more maybe physical needs and like, oh, you know, it's nursery calling or it's school calling again and they're sick and you've got to leave and there's the more practical challenges. But actually, as you move through sort of the, you know, the teenagers and early adult bring more unique challenges. So it's less, I guess, hands-on parenting, but just as much and I guess potentially more sort of that emotional piece. And what I have seen in the, I guess, parents in that space in my corporate experiences, there is, as you talked about, Louise, that almost struggle, you know, to grapple with the, you know, yes, the empty nest worries amongst the pride, but with, I think there's a big piece around having to almost redefine their identity beyond being mum or dad, you know, as they're now young adults prepare to leave home. And I think it will depend on how potentially that has been worked in terms of whether you work, whether you don't, and whether you work full-time, part-time where they're young. But I guess it's almost this, oh, hang on. There's this almost this, in one sense, real feeling of opportunity. But at the same time, of course, that with any opportunity and change can come, well, hang on, what does this, this is a bit different. And actually, I'm not going to be needed in the same way that I have been. And actually, that can feel quite discombobulating, to use one of my favourite words.
I love that word. Yeah, I love that word too. Yeah, I can totally relate to that. And I think different parents have different sort of, let's say, the degree to which you're entwined with your young adult's life, I suppose, and the purpose and meaning that you attribute to it as well, or to your whole life and how that's contributed to your family life as well. So that's all, so the nature of all of that is changing and it's kind of redefining it in many ways. That can be the challenge, I think, for many parents, because it's kind of letting go,
yes,
to a certain extent, something that perhaps we don't want to let go of sometimes. So it's that real mixed feeling. It's a challenge, definitely.
An element of it sounds extreme, but I think sometimes if we permit ourselves, it sort of supports this. There's almost a slight sense of it's an end of an era and you're sort of, it's okay to be in inverted commas grieve, you know, for that period of life where they're children, they need you in all ways, they're under your roof to, oh, as you say, letting go. And so I think there's, you know, allowing yourself to feel those feelings and recognize that it is a huge, huge transition.
Yeah. And I think that's a really important point, because often we're so tied up as parents in the transition that our young people are experiencing. We forget to note that it's also a transition for ourselves.
Yes.
And I think it's as equally important that we do that. And there
Absolutely.
Is a podcast I'll put in the show notes where we talk about, we call the parents who stay. And it's not just parents, actually, other kids as well in the family, the stayers.
It's
a transition for them too. So really important to recognize that and to give yourself attention for that as well and recognition. So thinking about that, I'm thinking, okay, this is a transition time for everybody. Transitions can impact our sense of well-being.
Yes.
And I just wonder whether you have some insights into what those challenges are for parents in terms of the impact it may have on their well-being.
And as you've signposted, you know, to sort of, I guess, whatever your setup, that it, you know, yes, this transition can have a really big impact on well-being. And I guess the number one that I guess I have seen and experienced is parents deprioritizing themselves and feeling, you know, that, well, they need to hold everything together, and they're so consumed with supporting their job, their young adult, from practical things of, okay, have they got the IKEA trip booked in to get your pots and your pans and all of those sorts of things, to, you know, do you know how to register for the doctors and all of those sorts of things. But, you know, if we neglect as parents kindness to ourselves, then, you know, we can get exhausted. We can feel just as though we can feel frustrated. We can feel just get to a real low ebb. And I think that's obviously not only good for us, but actually we are still, yes, they're young adults and not, you know, toddlers and children, but we are still role modeling. And, you know, if they're seeing us sort of running on empty and always frazzled, then it's sort of quite easy to internalize that's a normal. And I think, you know, so there's a deprioritization piece, but the other piece is sort of, I talk about as the silent struggle. So parents, again, feeling that they should be able to handle it all, so they don't reach out for support. And I guess that can only compound the feelings of isolation and stress. And I do think to your earlier point, Louise, is acknowledging that you are in a really big transition, not just your child, and that you are evolving is really important.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of beginning to be recognized that this sort of life stage, I think it's often not discussed because parents think it's it's what comes next, it's the natural next stage. So I should just be able to cope with this. I should just be able to sort of soldier on. And there's nothing that's wrong about it, in the sense that there's no illness, there's no, it's not a defined negative event in any way, because everyone wants to see it as positive and the positive next step forward. So it's very difficult to then say, oh, well, I'm really not coping very well with it, because it feels like a failure. And I think it's really important to know and to hear us say that this is not a failure. This is a very natural next step. And the grief that comes with this transition for some parents is very real. Other parents, not. And I think it goes in phases. So some parents may, as their kids disappear off to university, really feel it hard and to feel that sense of sadness. Other parents say they don't, and they see it as an opportunity for freedom and the next stage of their lives. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to reverse at some point, and suddenly it hit them. And I'm kind of an example of that, because I was so thrilled when my kids went to uni and got there and got through the exams and went to the next stage of their lives and seemed to be doing well, that I didn't acknowledge that actually there was some sadness around it as well. So it took me a while for that to then... and it still hits me sometimes. You know, I get these real mixed up. I'm so proud of them. But, oh my goodness. This is really a new stage and what comes next. And I'm very conscious of the fact that I need to think about how I'm going to live my life from now on with a different sort of kind of connection with my kids, who are still my kids. I'm still their parent. I'm still their mum. Yeah, and that's the other interesting thing. You know, they're gone. And there's silence, and then suddenly there's not silence, you know, and it's very much as you described at the beginning, you know, they're living adult lives, and some of the problems they're facing are very real problems that when they hit, you know, you parents, but they need you then.
Yes.
But
yes,
actually also they're easing themselves into independent living, so often they don't need you. And it's kind of this balance of walking that tightrope, really, of parenting.
Yes.
Being there to support in the right way, and that's often a challenge, but then leaving them, giving them that space. So that's kind of another worry, I think, parents think, you know, how much do I parent and how much do I get involved and how much do I encourage them to do on their own, and when do I really need to step in, or do I ever need to step in? These are the kind of questions that you're asking all the time, and that that in itself can be quite stressful as a parent.
Yes, and actually the kind framework that we touched, I shared with you earlier, Louise, that we'll touch upon is something that actually supports us as parents, even thinking sometimes, okay, am I doing that because that's what I want and for my needs, or is it for them? You know, that's, yeah, particularly if we haven't acknowledged that, yes, we are in transition as well.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll come on to that tool.
Yes.
I really want to share that
yes.
with everyone. But let's start just with a little sort of input from you around kindness. And so
yes.
What do you mean by that in terms of how parents can be kind to themselves?
Yes.
And support themselves at this stage?
Yeah. So no, I'm really pleased you've asked that, Louise. And I think, you know, kindness can sometimes be, I guess, confused with nice. Now, if we think about when our children were young, we were always like, oh, be kind to your brother or be kind to the children in the playground and all of those sorts of good things. But actually, it's a lot bigger than that. And a lot of the work that I do now with corporates is talking about its kindness as a strategic lever. And actually, there was a report in Forbes that showed that leaders who lead with kindness, that the organizations have 21% higher profitability. So it's isn't just a all soft, you know, nice thing. And actually kindness can be hard. Now with niceness, it's about just doing almost sometimes the easy route, what makes us feel good. But with kindness, there's the balance of the being stretched out of our comfort zones, doing things that maybe are new and different as we will be in this, but ultimately knowing that if we can't show ourselves kindness, then how are we meant to support and show up for those most important to us? So it's an incredible source of strength and, you know, a foundation for, you know, our own resilience, our connection with our kids, our own growth, their growth. And if we approach life with kindness, both to ourselves and children as they're growing up and into young adults, with kindness, we're creating, I guess, an environment where things like mistakes, when things can go wrong, aren't seen as, oh my goodness, big catastrophes. It's, you know, it's how we learn, it's how we set boundaries and where we can sort of begin to develop independence alongside that safety that you've created as you've gone through the family life. So in connection to now, and it's probably the third time we've touched upon it, you know, self-kindness means recognizing that this transition is for you as well. So you need to give yourself grace as you're navigating letting go, adapting to new things and redefining your role, both as your role as a parent, it remains, but it might look different in that, yes, you're not seeing them, you might not be speaking to them every day, but actually, as you say, there was a bugbear of mine on social media when it hit the summer holidays. My children are younger, but it's always like, oh, we've only got, you know, you've only got 18 summers. And it's like, no, you don't only have 18 summers. Mm-hmm. They're actually they're your children for
life.
For life. So I think when you're kinder to self, you've got more capacity to support your child or your young adult's independence. I'm not saying it's not hard and to encourage the independence while, you know, balancing your own feelings and when's too much, when's when you need to, you know, pull back or you need to push a bit more. But ultimately, if you're not extending yourself kindness, then how can you show up in the way that you want to and your kids deserve, basically.
Yeah, and I love the idea that you're modeling something that,
yes,
you then hope your kids will take forward,
yeah,
in your relationship with them, but also their relationship with others as,
yes,
well. I think that's such an important point. So can you give us some ideas around what kindness to ourselves might look like?
Yes.
Can you give some ideas for strategies or approaches? So let me give you an example. So my child has just left week two, yeah, or three of university, and I'm sat at home feeling a bit sad, looking back, because I think often we do, we look back and we look back in two ways. Sometimes we look back at all the positives and we absorb all that love and the positive experiences we've had, but also perhaps we think about our regrets and what's not gone so well, mistakes we might have made. And then perhaps we're sitting thinking, oh, well, they haven't been in touch. Why have they not been in touch? And this is the end of that relationship. And it's not. And I think that's a really important point. This is the opportunity to remold that relationship, to decide how you want that relationship together, to decide how that relationship's going to develop going forward in a more adult form. So I think that's a really important point. But you know, what can we do as parents to manage ourselves?
Yes, exactly. So self-kindness, you know, there can be physical ways, you know, there can be emotional ways, there can be practical ways. So I think emotional ways, you know, if we start the first again, is acknowledging, I feel sad. Yes, my child has just essentially left the family home. This is a big transition for us all. That's okay, but, you know, that I feel sad. I think we will always think and feel how we think and feel, but when those, you know, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that, think about actually, well, what learnings did that create for you or for your child or for your family? And then I think, as you talked there, Louise, about almost redefine, it's sort of the next chapter of your relationship with your child, isn't it? So why not take the time to think about what you want that to look like? And then, okay, how might that work? And whether it's in terms of, it might be that you decide, oh, once a term or something, you're going to commit to having a day where you go away, just the two of you, and you do something, or an overnight, or whether it's even contracting with them on when, you know, how you don't want to tie them to feel like, oh, every Sunday or whatever I've got to call home, but almost set some healthy sort of guardrails and things. Yeah. So that's some of the emotional stuff. But I think from a physical point of view, what can you do to, you know, what do you enjoy doing that maybe that you've not had the freedom over the past few years, or in the same way that you do now, whether it's, is it Pilates? Is it playing golf? Is it, you know, going on holiday? Is it listening to music? Or is it starting a new dance class? Or is it putting aside a time where you can sit in the morning with a cup of tea and the paper or whatever it is, and you're not going to be, Mom, where's this? Or like, Dad, what have you done with my, and you know, begin to reflect on like, some of the positive things that, you know, that are coming. And then I guess from a practical point of view, particularly when we're feeling sad, like, okay, what things can I put in the diary? So you've got things to look forward to, whether it's a walk with a friend, whether it is booking a holiday, whether it's starting a new course that you'd always thought about, but actually family life and the kids and stuff, it's all a bit too busy. But I think there is also power, and we've talked about it a couple of times, in also asking yourself, like, what do I need right now? You know, what's almost a micro moment of kindness? And maybe it's stopping and concentrating on breathing for a few minutes. Maybe it's having a bit of a digital detox from, you know, screens, phones, taking yourself for a walk, just really being in tune with what you need in that moment.
Yeah, lovely. I think there's lots of lovely ideas there. And I think that's dividing it into the physical, the emotional, the practical ways that you can support yourself at this time is really important and really helpful. Yeah, thank you for those. So, I'm aware that you talked about a tool at the beginning of our conversation. So I think it would be really lovely if we could finish with sharing that tool, so parents have a practical something to go and look at and work through for themselves at this time.
Yes, delighted to. So it's called KIND. So hopefully nice and easy to remember. And it stands for, so the K is know your needs. The I is about intentional choices. The N is navigate with self-compassion, and D is daily kindness practice. So there's a handout, but I will just walk briefly through that. But essentially, what this tool is there to do is to support, I guess, building on what we've talked about, that this transition isn't just about them and them growing, but it's about you adjusting and growing too. So it's there to help balance that, you know, the encouraging support, as well as building their independence and showing yourself, you know, kindness at the heart. So knowing your needs. So supporting your child doesn't mean neglecting yourself. So identify what you need. So what do I need to feel good in this time? How can I create space for myself? Who is in my tribe that can support? Is it a partner? Is it friends? Is it colleagues? Is it, you know, a coach, for example? So intentional choices. So this is around sort of intentional, as the word says, conscious choices about how you're engaging with your now young adult. So ask yourself, am I offering advice because it's something that they really need or have asked for, or because you're feeling a bit worried? How can I encourage, you know, independence while still creating a space where they can be safe? And what, you know, what small moments can I keep or can we maintain to have connection? So like I said, it might be that you talk through or even have a conversation around, are we going to speak on a certain day, or are we going to speak certain times a week, or actually is it going to be very fluid and flexible and we'll message more? I think just being on the same page, you know, of that. Navigating with self-compassion. So like you've shared through experience, Louise, it's, you know, there's lots of mixed emotions. So pride, worry, excitement, loss. But again, give yourself time. So are you giving yourself time and permission to adjust to this new phase? And are you noticing when you're sort of saying or telling yourself, well, you should be enjoying it. Oh, you should be, you know, this is, yeah, next phase. Because once we reposition from should, it can, you know, can feel quite empowering. And just keep an eye on what that voice in your head is telling you. So for example, like, oh, I should be handling this better, or I should be fine. Think about, well, actually, it's a transition and I'm learning alongside my child. And then the D, so the daily kindness practice, it isn't just a concept, it is a practice. And like all habits, the small sort of consistent things that you can do support building it up, just like any muscle. So what is one small act of self-kindness that I can do today? What things make me feel connected to my child, even when they're not physically here? My go-to micro moments, is it a hot coffee with no screens around? Is it, I don't know, indulging in some guilty Netflix pleasure? Is it going to Pilates or playing a round of golf or whatever? And you can also, if you're struggling to build it, then as a habit, even noting down each day, where have you showed yourself small acts of kindness? And that can help it to become more cyclical, and you can spot patterns with, oh, I've had a real low and that's because, oh, I've done no exercise all week, I haven't seen anyone other than my partner. So that is all laid out in the tool for you, and there is also some reflective questions in there, but yes, it's I guess it's there to just remind you and support you through this transition that isn't just about your child, it's very much about you and you changing as well.
Yeah, brilliant. I think that's a fantastic tool. We'll make it available in the show notes. Yeah, and as listening to you talk, there's one word that sort of came clearly to me, and that was about sort of connection. So it's connection with yourself, but also thinking about the connection with your child. And actually, one of the things that we sort of encourage parents to think about is sort of redefining that parental role, but just not from your perspective, having a conversation with your young adult about what they want from you as well. And having time to have, I know it isn't always easy with young people, but how do you want me to be as your parent now? Yes. How are we going to connect with each other? Do you want me to come and see you at uni sometimes? And how and when and sort of in what kind of way? And being really honest with each other about that, I think perhaps helps to lay the new ground rules. And somebody once said to me, this phase of life is not about the end of family. It's about refamilying. It's working out how your family will go forward in a different way. And I think that is a really lovely way of phrasing it too.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah. So brilliant. Thank you so, so much. I think there's so much helpful content in this conversation for parents at this stage. How can they reach out to you if they'd like to? Well, tell us a little bit more about, you know, where they can find you and
yes,
your resources
yes.
and courses.
So my website is kindnessforforsuccess.co.uk, and yeah, no dots or anything. You can find me on LinkedIn at Kim Stokes and Instagram kindness.for.success, whichever your preferred sort of platform is. I do have a sort of periodic newsletter, Kindness Chronicles. If you visit my website, you can sign up if you'd like to subscribe to that, where I talk about, well, there's often a tool or some, you know, tips in there, but also any offers that go out to my sort of email distribution list first. But no, it's been a pleasure. And I think don't be hard on yourselves. Be kind yourselves, because not only are you showing up for yourselves, you're role modeling and you're keeping yourself fit to support with this next phase of life. You're refamilying, as you so wonderfully put.
Lovely. Well, thank you so much for all of that, Kim. Been really lovely having this conversation today.
Bye-bye. Pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks so much for your time and insights, Kim. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. I hope that there are some helpful insights for you, the listener, to take away from this conversation too. So for me, I think the takeaway to remember is that as parents, we want to model kindness to others, but also to ourselves as well, and that we often neglect that self-kindness. Now, remember, you can download the Kind Framework from the show notes attached to this episode, wherever you get your podcasts. Now, if you can't access that, but you would like the notes, then hop over to our website, successfulstudenttransitions.com, leave us a message, and we'll be sure to send the framework to you. Finally, please join us for our upcoming webinar, A Blueprint for Successful University Transitions. It's on Tuesday, the 24th of June at 4:30 p.m. UK. And you can register by going to successfulstudenttransitions.com/webinar. We would really love to welcome you to that conversation. So thanks so much for listening today. We'll be back next week with the next episode in Successful Student Transitions podcast. Meanwhile, have a great week. Bye-bye for now. And now for the legal bits. The information contained in this podcast is for information purposes only. The content is not intended to act as a substitute for professional advice. Please do not delay in seeking professional help for any medical or mental health condition. Use of the information in this podcast and associated materials is at the user's own risk.